I listened to a sermon earlier this week. The title of the sermon was Finding the Strength to Keep Going When I Am Emotionally Worn Out. Finding the strength to keep going when I am emotionally worn out. You don't have to raise your hands or anything, but how many of you feel just a little bit emotionally or mentally or physically worn out these days? Some of you are raising your hands. Steve's got two hands up. I'll put a hand up as well. And think about all the things that we are bombarded with every single day now. I wish there was no such thing as the internet. I wish there was no such thing as cell phones that you could look up the internet any time of the day. I wish that I didn't watch the evening news. There are just so much going on in these days. So what I want to do here at the beginning is I want us to play a little word association game. And I'm going to say a word. Now, you don't have to shout anything out. This is all internal for you and me. Yeah, don't shout it out. In your mind, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to think of the emotion or the feeling that you have when you hear it. Don't even think about it. Just what's the first emotion or feeling that you have? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? So here we go. Mask requirements. The shooting at the NHK plant in Frankfort, Indiana. COVID-19 vaccine boosters. Afghanistan. Increased COVID hospitalizations. Taliban. Delta variant. Butterflies, flowers, sunsets on the beach. Had to throw something in there so you don't get too depressed. Afghani refugees. Shootings in our city. Haiti earthquake, hurricanes, China, politics. I was tempted to throw out a bunch of names of politicians, but I decided that would be ill-advised. You probably don't need any help generating feelings about that. Communism, racial tension. Online expressions of hatred and anger. Opioid overdoses. Depression and suicide, which, by the way, are at an all-time high right now. I don't know about you. I don't know what emotions came into your mind when you heard some of those words, but there is one word that repeatedly comes into my mind when I think about those things. Weary. I'm just weary. I'm weary of everything we see and everything we hear. I'm weary when I look at the brokenness of our world. It's interesting that in some ways, this is nothing new. It feels overwhelming. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, the ninth verse, Solomon wrote, What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, the names have changed, the technology is different, the things that we deal with are different, but not that much different from what all of mankind has been dealing with for centuries and millennia. One of the things I like about the Bible is that the scriptures are written in real life experiences. It's not something like, you know, an angel dictates to somebody these words to write down and there are all these thoughts, but they're not anchored in real life. Scripture was written in real life experiences. And the writers of scripture, like the Apostle Paul, and in particular the Apostle Paul, they experienced hard times, they experienced stressful times, and it did wear on them. They were weary. We sometimes put the Apostle Paul and different ones of the prophets up here on a pedestal, and we think that somehow that because they were so spiritual, they were superhuman. But the truth of the matter is, Paul in particular experienced hard times and stressful times, and it wore him out. and they were weary. The prophets in the Old Testament were weary. The psalmist often was weary. The apostle Paul was weary. So we're going to look at a couple passages of scripture that we find in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. Take your Bibles or your Bible app if you want to follow along and turn there with me. 2 Corinthians. And I want to set kind of the stage for this in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, which was in Greece, hence the name Corinthians. Just like we were Americans, they were Corinthians. They were people who lived in the city of Corinth. And so Paul is writing to them, and I'm going to just read in chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a couple verses 8 through 11. But to set the stage, Paul is talking about the fact that, you know, that God is the Father of compassion. He's the God of all comfort. He talks about in verse 4, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others, and that the sufferings of Christ have a bearing on our lives. So he's talking about the comfort of God. And then he gets very personal in verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be misinformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." Now, the province of Asia was sometimes called Asia Minor. It's where modern-day Turkey is, and some of the surrounding nations, the Uzbekistan and some of those countries, were considered Asia Minor. And Paul is saying, we don't want you to be uninformed about the hardships we suffered. In other words, we went through some really tough times, is what he's getting at. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. And I think about all of the people working in hospitals and ERs that once again are under great pressure. And they can identify with what Paul is saying here. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. I mean, this is a holy man of God, what we would consider a saint, the writer of a lot of books of the New Testament, and he is saying that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And I think about that passage, and I realize that, you know, Paul, I mean, like us, but maybe even to a greater degree, I have not gone through the things that Paul went through. Later in 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about being shipwrecked, being beaten, being stoned, being flogged, being imprisoned, all of these things that Paul went through. And so he's talking here in this passage about troubles, about great pressure. Our word today would be stress. We probably would be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't have some kind of stress in their life. Paul says troubles, great pressure. He says there were things that were beyond our ability to endure. In other words, it was too much for us to handle on our own. Now, I know we think we got to handle everything on our own. We got to make it through here. People misquote and say, God never gives you more than you can handle. That's not in the Bible. He promises to be with us through it. But there are times in our lives when there are things that we cannot handle. And Paul says these were things beyond our own ability to endure. He's talking about feelings of despair. He's talking about the fact that we feel like we're under a sentence of death. This is the Apostle Paul in the first century AD, and here we are 2,000 years later, and I think, at least for me, we can identify with that. Troubles, stress, things beyond our ability to endure, maybe feelings of despair. Maybe it just feels like, with everything we hear on the COVID and recent deaths and all of that, and what we've been through in the last 18 months, you know, does it feel like we're under a sentence of death? I mean, that's the way the Apostle Paul was feeling. But here's the thing. In the midst of all of that, what he's saying is that we learn to rely on God. We remember what God has done in the past, And so we set our hope on God helping us. And when I read that, if nothing else, it reminds me that we all go through these things. And then Paul says in verse 11, as you help us by your prayers. And I think that's great. Because if nothing else, that passage where Paul is identifying his troubles and his stress and his despair and feeling under a sentence of death, if nothing else, it reminds us today of how important it is to pray for each other as we go through trying times. Paul says to the Corinthian church, you help us by your prayers. You help us by your prayers. And the only way that they're getting through this and that they have hope and that God will continue to deliver them is because he's relying on the fact that God's people were praying for him. So like Paul, in the first century, let's be honest, there are times when we are physically worn out. It may be because of sickness, it may be because of our schedule, it may be because of stress, but there are times when we are physically worn out. Sometimes we are emotionally worn out. Maybe we're more often emotionally worn out than we are physically worn out. But those tend to go together, don't they? When we're emotionally worn out, when we're stressed, sometimes we can't sleep. I don't know how many times in the last several weeks I've woken up at 3 or 4 in the morning and it just drives me crazy. I'm thinking about stuff and I know what I need to do. I know I need to like give that to God. And it was interesting, if you remember anything about last week, you remember Jesus' disciples were in a storm. And it says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them. He came walking on the water. He got in the boat with them and the storms calmed down. And I didn't know this until I was studying it. I don't think I mentioned it last week. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus came to them between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I thought, well, maybe that's why I wake up more often during those times, because God's wanting to get my attention. And I mean, I'm thinking, and just jokingly thinking, well, God, maybe can we schedule that for 7 in the evening after the news is over? That's when I could really use it. Feel worn out, can't sleep. We want to be able to say, and we need to be able to say what the psalmist said in Psalm 3, verse 5. I mean, and maybe I need to start reading this to myself every night. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, hopefully not till 6 or 7 in the morning, because the Lord sustains me. So, if you thought about those words that I said at the beginning, and the emotions that they triggered in you, just think right now, what is maybe the number one thing in your life right now that maybe is draining your emotions or sapping your strength? And then think about how those people in the early church prayed for the Apostle Paul. What do you need someone else to pray about for you? What do you need someone else to pray about for you? I think sometimes because we're such independent Americans and we're taught to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we're taught to handle everything, sometimes we're reluctant to really open up and let somebody know what we're struggling with so that they can pray for us. So life can be tough. We see that from the Apostle Paul in the beginning of this letter. But we do not lose heart. And so if you look over at chapter 4, of 2 Corinthians, there's a couple of verses there that I want to read, and they're going to be verses 7 through 9. But before that, Paul talks about the fact that God has made his light to shine in our hearts. He's made his light to shine in our hearts, and this is the treasure that we have in our hearts, is God's light shining in our light, in our hearts, in our lives. And so I'll just read verse 6 as we set up for beginning in verse 7 and reading through verse 9. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God shines his light through His Word, through His people, in times of prayer, He shines His light into our hearts. And so this is what Paul says beginning in verse 7. And you'll recognize some of these words from the one song that we sang. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. Now the treasure that he's referring to is the light of Christ in our hearts. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Clay jars are fragile. If you drop one, it cracks. Most likely it breaks. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And then listen to this. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I love that passage. Now, at the very beginning of that chapter, and I didn't read this, Paul starts off saying, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And he's going to repeat that again, and we'll read that in a minute. So what Paul is saying to us is, we have the light of Christ in our flawed, broken lives. And in our weakness, God's power can be revealed. And so he describes these kind of conditions. Hard-pressed. We use the expression, caught between a rock and a hard place. Paul's talking about being under pressure. He's talking about being under extreme pressure. We are hard-pressed. He says, we're perplexed. And I'm thinking, yeah, why is all this craziness happening in our city, in our country, and in our world? We're perplexed. We may be persecuted, and Paul certainly was persecuted. We don't know that to the extent, that Christians in Afghanistan may be persecuted or in other countries. We don't know anything really about what the early church went through and how they were persecuted. But we do have people who don't understand our faith. We do have people who reject our beliefs. And we may have people who poke fun at what we believe. We may have mild expressions of persecution. You know, in some cases, somebody may be denied a job because they're vocal about their faith in the workplace. There are things like that that we experience. Paul's talking about being under pressure. He's talking about being perplexed about the things that are happening. He's talking about being persecuted or opposed because of our faith. And then he uses an expression there. He says, we're struck down. And I thought that was interesting. Do you ever just feel beat down? Maybe especially by other people. Do other people's words beat you down? So when you look at that, I only gave you the first part of those kind of couplets. I gave you the first part that talks about the fact that we're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. I didn't give you the other half of each of those. And here is why we do not lose heart. We may be hard-pressed, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed and don't understand the things that are happening in our world, but we are not in despair. We may be persecuted, but God does not abandon us. He will not abandon us. We may be knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Hard-pressed, hard-pressed but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, knocked down but not destroyed. And we need to have a determination to keep going in spite of opposition, in spite of hardships, in spite of suffering. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. So how do we get the strength to keep going when we are emotionally and mentally tired or weary, when we are worn out, when we feel like we have run out of gas emotionally? How do we keep up? How do we keep going? When we have physical fatigue, how do we keep going? When we have relational stress and fatigue, how do we keep going? When we have spiritual or emotional fatigue and we are worn out, how do we keep going? And I go back, I'm referring back to the sermon that I heard earlier in the week, finding the strength to keep going when I'm emotionally worn out. And we might say, finding the strength to keep going when I am stressed out. And there were four things that that pastor shared that I want to pass on to you this morning. And the first one is this: honestly tell God what you're feeling. That's what we do in prayer. Honestly tell God what you're feeling. You have permission, because Scripture gives us that permission and invitation. You have permission to unload all your burdens on God. Now, your coworker may not want you to unload all your burdens on them, but Jesus says, come, I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon Him. Lay down your burdens. Drop it. Let it go. Lay it down. And I think how prone I am to hold on to things, and you keep thinking about them, and you keep stewing about them, and you keep worrying about them, and God is saying, lay it down. Jeremiah the prophet had a horrible life in ministry. I mean, his whole thing was to warn the people of Judah of God's upcoming judgment, and they didn't receive that very well. And he wasn't treated very well, and his life was not a very happy life. In fact, the second he's the author of the book of Jeremiah, but he's also the author of a shorter book called Lamentations, which is like our cries out to God. And in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19, this is what Jeremiah said: arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. I think, man, that is a great picture of really heartfelt, earnest prayer. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. We could put in that, in place of the lives of our children who faint from hunger at every street corner. People were starving to death in Jerusalem when it was under siege by Babylon. And that's the thing that they were facing. And so God's saying to me, you know, as I pray to Him, if I pour out my heart to Him, He's saying, lift your hands to Me. Lift your hands up for whatever it is that is bothering you. That's a picture or a symbol of prayer. I'm not saying you have to pray in your house by lifting your hands up, but if it helps you to do that, do it. Lift up your hands for the concerns that are on your heart. Honestly tell God what you're feeling. Humbly ask God for strength. I mean, that's part of prayer. Ask, ask, ask. Don't just take the notion that, well, God already knows what I need, so I don't need to ask. He tells us, ask. Over and over again, ask. Gratefully thank God for all that is good in spite of all that is bad. And if you need to, take a little post-it note and write down some things that are good or some things that you're grateful for. Stick them on your mirror in your bathroom, put them on your rear view mirror as long as you don't look up there too often. Gratefully thank God for all that is good in spite of all that is bad. You know, I mean, let's be honest, it's easy to be thankful when everything is going well, although usually that's when we forget to be thankful. But when you're worn out or when you're burned out, when life is hard, you need gratitude most. You need to express your thanks to God most. In spite of everything, give thanks. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he doesn't say for everything give thanks, because that's not honest. We don't give God thanks for the bad things in our lives. He says in everything give thanks. No matter what's happening, you still give thanks to God for His goodness to us. And constantly keep God as your focus. Focus on the long term, on the future hope that we have, not on the present struggles. And that's where we come to this last couple of verses that I want to read. We fix our eyes on what is unseen and eternal, not on what's right around us that we see maybe with our physical eyes or that we hear about. So Paul starts off 2 Corinthians 4, by saying, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Even though we're hard-pressed, even though we're perplexed, even though we're persecuted, even though we're knocked down, we do not lose heart. And now he comes to the end of this chapter, and he reiterates that same statement. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I know this is going to sound hard to handle because we don't think our troubles are light and momentary. But in perspective to eternity, they are. And so he says in verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The promise we have of eternal life, the promise that we have of Christ returning, the promise we have of all things being made new, the promise we have of no more sickness, no more suffering, no more crying, no more death, that promise outweighs all of the struggles that we might have. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so here's what we do. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. It may not feel like all the stuff that's going on around our world is temporary, but it is in comparison to the eternal picture. And so Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even if outwardly we're going through all these struggles and we're going through all this pressure and there's all of this stress, we do not lose heart because we can fix our eyes on Jesus and fix our eyes on what is unseen and realize that what we are going through, even though it may seem like it is never going to end, is temporary in comparison to the eternal. So we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Would you bow your heads together with me as we bring this time to a close? And if there's any stressed out emotions that you have right now, or any burdens or concerns that you're carrying that it seems like the weight of them has gotten so, so heavy, you can just let it go and give it to God. Because even though you're going through those hard times, and even though you might be stressed out and hard-pressed, and even though you may not understand what's happening around us in our world or in your life, even though you feel like maybe you've been knocked down, God has not abandoned you. He invites you to come, find rest, cast your cares upon Him, to lay your burdens down. If you're feeling weak and heavily burdened, this is your time. Take a few moments. If you want to come and pray at these altars, if something's really heavy on your heart, you can do that. But just in the silence of these moments, as the music softly plays, let go and release those things that may be weighing heavy on you, maybe stressing you out, maybe causing you anxiety. Give them to God. Let Him give you His comfort and His peace. Find His strength. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on what's eternal. He won't let you go. Lord, I thank You for the honest expressions of humanity that people like the Apostle Paul and the psalmist and the prophet Jeremiah expressed in their writings. It encourages me to know that there's other people that go through, honestly, a lot worse struggles than I might go through. There's so many people that have endured great stress and hardship and sickness and persecution. I can't even imagine that. And Lord, honestly, at times I feel ashamed that I might complain, that I might let myself feel weighted down by the weight of this world when you're right there offering to take that load. So Lord, take that heaviness and that weight off of our hearts this morning. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to see the hope of eternity. Help us to know that even in our darkest times, your light shines in our hearts. And even in our most stressful times, you come and you give us peace and you give us rest. So Lord, our declaration of faith this morning, individually and collectively, is that we will not lose heart because we trust in you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.